thing on your heart that you want to lay before the Lord. This I can assure you. If you come to your Father with a pure heart and you pray according to His word, He hears you. The enemy says, nah, He doesn't. He's not listening to you. Listen to the truth. If you know God's will and you pray that, you know that He's heard you. And you know if He's heard you, you have the request you've made of Him. Father God, we come before You. I am a child of God. This is how I fight my battles. On my knees, with Your truth, it may look like I'm surrounded, and I am. I'm surrounded by You. And not only surrounded, the Creator of the universe lives in us. Tell the enemy where to go. Let's raise some hell. You know what that means. I don't know if you know what the word raise means in that context. That means tear it down. Okay. The enemy has nothing here. All authority. I told my brother Jesse, God lives here. All authority has been given to you. He lives here. All power is here. All authority is here. Walk in the name of the Lord. Father, we lift these requests up to You, being confident with full assurance that You hear us. Father, we love You. And I thank You for Casey for healing his leg. Whew. God, so good. About the time I begin to doubt, You come through with a miracle. God, forgive me for my doubt. Strengthen my faith in You. Build Your kingdom this day, Lord, in each one of us. Let Your will be done. Let Your will be done. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, we'd like to welcome everybody to Westview Community Church. It is really, yeah, now I see you a little more. It's great to see all of you. It always is. Every Sunday, it's great to see you. And for our guests who are here, we really hope in just a short amount of time, you already feel like this is home, because we're just glad you're here with us, too. My name is Brian Smith. I'm our lead pastor here at Westview. And before we jump into it, we actually got a brand new sermon series to start on today. But before we start into that, I want to share with you where I've been the last 3 days. I've been at Men's Encounter. Yeah. With 20 other dudes from our church. We were over in Salina for about 48 hours straight, about 3 days worth of time. I've been wanting to go to Men's Encounter for a long time because we're seeing what Men's Encounter and Women's Encounter as another ministry that we're partnered with in church, what it's doing to our church. And so I went there and I got to hang out with 450 other dudes. Now, the cool part is that when I went there, it started with my wife, Kara, say, Brian, you are not a pastor this weekend. And everybody, when I got there, Brian, you're not a pastor. I got to be a dude. And it was so good to be a dude and just watch God work, because it's called Men's Encounter. It's called Women's Encounter because you go there and you encounter the living Christ. And it's my prayer that every dude here goes and every woman goes, because we're already seeing the impact. It's just one of the ministries our church is associated with or does that's changing the heart of our church. I got to see 425 men being emptied out. Doesn't matter what garbage you brought. And be refilled up. Yes. I saw 3 baptisms. There was a lot more than that. But 3 men from our church. 2 that rededicated their lives and 1 that walked across the line the very first time and said, I'm going to follow Christ. And I'm joyously exhausted. But whether you need rescued, whether you need to really encounter Christ, whether you need to just reboot, it fits all of us. The next women's encounter is next month. Go to encounterthecross.org. Next men's encounter is in May, late May. Can I encourage you all to go? It's not just a mountain high experience. You will encounter, it's just a bunch of common people encountering Christ. You'll love it. So go, okay? Go. Right down, go. So let's talk about this new sermon series. There's a national holiday. I hope you guys get it right. In just about a week and a half, first service. This just was weird. So there's a national holiday in about 10 days. Roughly 11 days. What is that national holiday? Valentine. Thank you. There's people guessing Christmas and other stuff last service. I'm not sure what was going on in their mind. So Valentine's Day is just around the corner. So we chose a sermon series that focuses on this thing called love. And the gals were going, yes! And the guys were going, man, when's the Super Bowl going to start? It's like, dudes, it's not that kind of love. I mean, I think you're going to walk away with a lot in this series. But the world says love is this. But we're going to actually tell you love is actually this, according to the Bible. And so let's go back to that. Let's talk just about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, if you go back, the actual original term was St. Valentine's Day. It actually celebrates St. Valentine, a priest and an early Christian in the 3rd century who lived in Rome. The early Christian church was moving. St. Valentine was actually being persecuted, as the church was big time in Rome during that time. He was getting persecuted for his faith, but he really was getting persecuted for marrying Christian couples. And they arrested him. They beat him severely. And then they beheaded him. In 270 A.D., do you know what day it was they beheaded him? February 14th. So how in the world did we go from that to buying chocolates, giving cards and roses and having lots of love on this national holiday? How do we take that event on February 14th and turn it into a $1 billion industry about love? I looked through all kinds of articles, and there was one article, well, there were several articles, I think. It happened in, the connecting part was in the 14th century when Geoffrey Chaucer, a lot of you have maybe read, if you're into poetry and stuff, this guy was big. He's a 14th century poet. He wrote a poem about St. Valentine's Day. February 14th is the day that birds and people begin to choose and court their mate. So he connected St. Valentine getting beheaded with a multi-billion dollar industry today of love. Is that confusing? Yeah. It is confusing because love is confusing. In our culture, Valentine's Day is all about love. But what is the love that we're really celebrating? What is love? Our world tells us, our culture tells us what love is. The world tells us that love actually is an experience. That if you ask anybody, hey, what is love? They're probably going to go to this part here. It's an experience. It's something I feel. It's because of actions or something, this is something I feel. Love is something I feel. Love is, most will describe it as love is happiness. That's when you're really experiencing love. Some will say love is a warm puppy. But the one thing that's very evident about how the world looks at love is that it is mercurial. Big word time. You guys ready for a new word? Mercurial. Here's what mercurial means. Mercurial means it's subject to sudden or unpredictable changes of mood or mind. When you think of mercurial, what's the root word? Mercury. You think of a thermometer and think of where you live. That thermometer, say it's 66. Tomorrow it's going to probably be 10 below. It moves like this. And that's what mercurial means. Love, because we see it as an experience, it's all over the board. It moves and changes with whatever our experience is. And so love to us is confusing because it's always changing. And every time love gets confusing, every time that love is a struggle to define, we try to define it in a song. Especially country western music. Now you know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to play with you a list of top 50 songs from every era. I bet we're going to hit everybody in this room, and I want you to sing along with me. This is why, and this is how, we define love. Let's start that up. Let's sing this together. So here's all these songs that define love. All you need is love. Come on, the Beatles, right? All you need is love.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Whitesnake. This is what I was in college.
That I'm feeling. Is this the love that I've been searching for?
It's got what it takes. How many times can we play Van Halen in church? It's awesome. So why can't this be love?
Got to do with it. What's love but a second-hand emotion?
A little classic.
Where did our love go?
You got it.
That love and feeling. Oh, that love and feeling. I want to know what love is.
Foreigner.
I want you to show me.
All right, you boomers.
I'm hooked on a feeling.
That you're in love with me. You're gonna love this one.
Love hurts. Love scars. Love moves. And moves.
Def Leppard. Love bites. I've seen him in concert 3 times. Come on.
Love stinks. Love stinks.
Okay, we're going to start catching back up here. Pat Benatar.
Quit playing games with my heart.
Lion King.
Love tonight.
It is where we are.
Crazy little thing, darling.
Crazy little thing, darling.
The crazy little thing called love.
Isn't that awesome? You've been singing this for generations. What is love? That's why it's so confusing, because every time we write another song about it, trying to grasp what it is, and we can't. Look at that. What's love got to do with it? What is love? Crazy little thing called love. Love's a battlefield. Why can't this be love? I want to know what love is. I'll never love again. Love bites. Love stinks. That's why love is confusing. In the 80s, when I was struggling through new wave music, Howard Jones was one of my favorite guys, and he sang that song, What is Love Anyway? The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us what love is. And it's simple. It's so simple. The Bible tells us, while the world tells us that love is an experience, the Bible tells us love actually is God. Love actually is God. And this comes right out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. The scripture reads, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love," look at that, "does not know God. For God is love." God is love. Same thing. God equals love. Reverse them. Love equals God. And here in America, let me jump to this thing about God is love. How is this going to help us? We're going to drill down this. But His love is very different than human love and Valentine's love. It's interesting, in our culture, we have one word for love. What is it? Love. Sorry, I didn't want you to say anything else, but it's love. In the Greek language, in biblical times, there was four words for love. The first word, and here's a little list just to kind of go through this. This might be familiar to some of you, but the first word is eros, or erotic. This is where our word erotic love comes from. It is a sensual, erotic, romantic love. This is where we find desire, physical attraction, and physical love. We would call this eros, we would call it Valentine's love. Valentine's is all about this romantic, physical love. Another word that you would see in the Greek language was storge, which is a different form of love. It's an affectionate bond love. You see this love between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, maybe between you and a dog. It's a companion type love, family type love. I'd call this we are family love. The third one that we see is filial. Filial is an emotional bond found in deep friendships. Brotherly love, sisterly love. Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love. It comes from this root word. And I call this tailgate love, you know, guys, dudes. And I call it BFF love is what this is. And there's a fourth one called agape love. Agape love defines, and there's only one definition for this, it defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. Agape love is perfect. Agape love is unconditional. Agape love is sacrificial, and it's pure. In that verse I read from you, 1 John 4, 7 through 8, it was originally written in the Greek. Five times in three verses it used the word agape for love. Dear friends, let us continue to agape love one another, for agape love comes from God. Anyone who agape loves is a child of God, and he knows God. But anyone who does not agape love does not know God, for God is agape love. God's love is unconditional, and it's not based on feelings or emotion. God's love is not mercurial. It does not change with the weather or a feeling or an experience. God doesn't love us because we're lovable or because we make him feel good. He loves us because he is love. He created us to have a loving relationship with him. And you go back to verse 7, we are to love agape as God loves. We are called to love like that. And it says, if you know that love, if you know God's agape love, you are a child of God and you know him. That's relationship. You know him when you know this love. But it also has the counter that if you don't know love like this, this is harsh. You don't know God. So, saying, let's all go love like God is simple, but we're also trying to define something so unfathomable, so big. And over the next few weeks, we're going to try and break it down into chunks to show you God's agape love that is supposed to be received by us, dwell in us, and shoot out of us. So let's start with one characteristic of God's agape love. We're going to tackle just one today and how we are to love. So here it is. God's love is, when we define this agape love, it is selfless. This is a great foundation to start on for everything else. His love is selfless. It's important that we start in 1 Corinthians 13. For those of you who have ever been to a wedding, you know this chapter. It's called the love chapter. It's read at about every wedding. Maybe read it yours. 9 times in the 13 verses of chapter 13, we see the word love, and every time it is agape love. So I'm going to read, I'm not going to put it up here. I'm going to just read the first 4 verses. I want you to listen to them. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth, imagine that, and of angels, imagine that, but I don't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, the ability to understand all of God's secret plans and communicate those, and I possessed all knowledge, and if I had faith that could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. Nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And you jump into the message and read this, which is a favorite of mine when we do weddings. Without agape love, we are bankrupt. Now, that gets us to verses 1 through 3. Now, we want to go to verses 4. I'm going to put those 4 and 5 up ahead. And this describes God's selfless love. Starting in verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. God loves like that. So we are to love like that. So how does that look for us today? If I would take, there is a lot of words in those 2 verses about what selfless love is, but let me boil them down to maybe 4 points for you. Selfless love actually, let's start with the first one, makes hard choices. Selfishness takes the easy out. Selfless love is patient, and kind. Can you imagine what selfless love like that is like? Being patient with somebody, just being kind when they're not being kind, that's what we call high road love. Take the high road. Make the harder choice. Because it's so easy to be snarky and nasty and mean-spirited, and that is selfishness. So the first thing, it makes hard choices, selfishness, easy out every time, bells. Second, selfless love actually is humble. Selfishness struts. Selfless love is humble. The best way to define, I think, humble is I'm always aware of others first. I'm not demanding, as the scripture said, my own way. Selfishness, the opposite of this, is seen when life is about me. I am the focus. I got swagger. I strut. Third thing, selfless love actually sacrifices, selfishness receives. Selfless love puts others' needs first. It foregoes what I want temporarily for the sake of somebody else. But selfishness expects and looks to receive first. And the last one, selfless love actually makes no record. Selfishness has a scorebook. Selfless love forgives, is what this is saying. It forgives and it holds no grudges, or at least it's moving towards forgiveness. It's got a goal of forgiveness, because sometimes forgiveness takes a little time, but it's going that direction. It holds no grudges and it holds no power over somebody. But selfishness, it has a scorebook. It never lets go. And it's always keeping record of the past. Any of us feel this? We've been on both sides of the fence, haven't we? Selfless love, let me tell you, and looking at the summary of this, selfless love risks that love won't be returned. And you know what? That's okay. Because selfless love is all about giving with no condition or expectation of loving returning. Why? Because that is the way God loves us every day. No matter what we do, who we are. Selfless love, ladies and gentlemen, it is a tremendous joy in life to be selfless. You watched that first video, you saw nothing but selflessness moving to selflessness, moving to selflessness. Selfless joy, selfless love and the joy, it comes from the way I make you feel instead of the way you make me feel. When you find that joy, it's an amazing place to be. So how does that apply to us? How do we take something like that and grab it and run with it today? Well, love actually says, I am third. Love actually says, I am third. God, others, me. God, others, then me. And let me make sure I get one point, because I think when people look at this, they say, well, it just means that I sacrifice and I devalue myself. There is no devaluing of who I am in selfless love. It actually, by being selfless, you will increase in joy and hope and love like you've never seen before. And since it's Super Bowl Sunday, I get permission to use sports analogies. So I got two about I am third. The first is about Gale Sayers. For those of you who have been know football way back, Gale Sayers is a Hall of Fame running back. He played for KU. Okay, we'll let it go. He was an incredible running back for Kansas University and also for the Chicago Bears in the 1960s and 1970s. In Kansas, when he played for KU, he was known as the Kansas Comet. He was so fast. Couldn't catch him. He wrote a book. It's titled, I Am Third. And he said, I learned it from a coach that the Lord first, my team second, I am third. Some of you remember the movies from the 70s. Gale Sayers' book, I Am Third, became a movie called Brian's Song. It's a story of when he got to the professional level, he had a very close friend. Gale Sayers is African-American. His close friend is Brian Piccolo, who was white. They played together with Chicago Bears. Brian Piccolo got cancer and died at the height of his career. But what was so neat about that story is that you did not... Gale was still fighting the racism of the day, and to have a roommate and a brother who was white, they worked against all odds, and they were brothers who went from filial love to agape love. It's a good movie. Go watch it sometimes. Beautiful story. Okay, that's a few years ago. Let me just go back to 2 weeks ago, another football story. Dabo Swinney, the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, who just won a national championship. Yeah, come on, Tiger fans, get out. Let's go. Just 2 weeks ago, he just wins a national championship, the biggest accomplishment. Second time in, 3 years. He's walking off the field. He's being interviewed. As he's walking off the field, and they ask him about how happy he is. And this is what Dabo Swinney said. He said, for me personally, he says this to all America who's watching, joy comes from focusing on Jesus, others, and then yourself. It's like, Dabo. I am third. There's one other famous person I want to describe that's used that same phrase, I am third. He was a Hall of Famer and All-Star. His name is Jesus. We look at a scripture verse of 2 Corinthians 8, 9 that goes with this sermon point. This is what was written about. This All-Star. He says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor. So that by his poverty, he could make us rich. Our greatest model of selfless love is found in Jesus. He gave his life on a cross to pay the penalty for sin because our agape love relationship with God was destroyed by that sin. And we could never pay that price, so he did. He came to earth rich, a king, our creator, and he died on a cross as a common criminal so that our agape love relationship with God could be restored. Even when he talked to people while he was here on earth, he said, I am third. I have not come to judge. I have come to save. And he gave us his life for it. By his grace, our great king became poor, a poor, humble carpenter's son who gave us everything. He sacrificed his very life so we could be rich. And we're not talking money, guys, gals. We're talking rich in joy, rich in hope, no matter what I'm going through right now, rich in peace, that I know where I'm heading because of him, and rich in eternal life. Jesus, our Creator and Savior, said, I am third. Agape love is selfless love. The love God wants us to have is just not an experience or a feeling, but it's a conscious act of the human will, a deliberate decision on our part to put others ahead of ourselves. And this is a kind of love that God gives us every day. So where can you and I get this selfless agape love? This is important. Only God can give us a selfless love for others as the Holy Spirit changes us from within. This is the one reason we must receive Christ. For apart from the Spirit, we can never be freed from the chains of selfishness, jealousy, and indifference. I didn't say that. Billy Graham did. This is the one reason you must follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he paid every penalty so you could have that selfless love. And without that power, you cannot beat the spirit of selfishness, jealousy, and indifference. So can we walk out of here today with a constant and new perspective? Can we have a life that says, I am third, and I'm okay with that, in a culture that says, I am first? Ladies and gentlemen, you walk out the door and you experience God's love like this, you're going to be so countercultural. Men, since I just came back from Men's Encounter, I want to pick on you a little bit today, particularly men that are in a love relationship. When I was at Men's Encounter, remind me of this book I ran into a number of years ago. It came from the movie Fireproof. It's called The Love Dare. It's 40 days, something you can do every day with the one you love to show selfless love. 40 days, if you do 40 days this, you'll build a new spirit in you through God's power that's selfless. This is all. You know what day one is? Love is patient. Be patient with your spouse today. Don't be snarky, rude. Be patient. Same thing we read in Scripture. I have three copies up here that can go out to the first person who grabs them. And you can go out and get these online anytime. But men, can I push you first to be selfless? All right, come on, Yohani. Here you go. All right. Ladies, we'll pick on you later. Yeah, if anybody wants one, just leave us a note up here and we'll get you a copy. Last thought. I live as I am third today, and the next day, if we do that, that kind of love, just like we sang, makes us a child of God, and we will know him. You ready for that? Amen. Ushers, come forward, please, for the offering. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as this offering comes forth, we are just offering ourselves. We are offering that you can fill us, that we empty ourselves of the garbage, and we fill ourselves with this love that you have for us. And Father, it is a beautiful thing to behold when that love moves through us to others. Father, give us agape love, the greatest and highest of loves, and watch this church change the world. Father, our offering is that. Change our hearts, let your spirit reign. And it's even how we give, a generous love, how we give to the mission of the church that we keep bringing this message everywhere we go. Father, bless the giver because we know we're going to be the receiver from you of all your promises. Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life as the most selfless love act ever. And today we follow you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. It was very important. We got finished with a really strong story here. This is what looks like in a church that has selfless love. This is selfless love as it moves through us to others who encounter the risen Christ, and then they have that incredible selfless love in them. Watch this video.
Staring down the face of fear, gotta keep breathing. When the negative is all you hear, gotta keep believing. Today, she is a warrior. Indeed. We get to celebrate yet another Homestead graduation today, which is always amazing.
Because God is doing incredible things through his people and through his spirit. And you know, when the Lord, a life encounters the unconditional love of God and the grace of God, they're forever changed. And that's what's happened to Laura Montgomery. She's from South Carolina, came to us last May, and I want you to hear a little bit about her journey.
Okay. I guess I'd just start by saying that I've lived a life of like unbroken love or broken love, you know, my whole life. I didn't know really what love, the power of love was. And I didn't know how to deal with the pain of that, you know, a lot of the circumstances that happened in my life. And so I pretty much reached for every substance of this world to try to fill that void in me, whether it was men or drugs or, you know. And, you know, by the grace of God, I kind of got hemmed up in a couple things and went to jail a couple times, was able to sit down and let the chaos of the world fall away and get into the truth and the Word of God and come to know who God was and how he loved. And I embraced that. And he filled me full of his love. And, so now I know the power of love. And I realize that's the only thing that can heal the pain that I've gone through. And I'm embracing that. And my whole life is different now. I sat in jail and prayed for a program that would give me a chance to put that into all my dreams and the woman that I was trying to become, the woman that God intended me to be all along. And I prayed for a program like this program that I came to, and I prayed for good, godly women to follow and to lead me. And I got that. I got every bit of it, and I've grown so much here. And the support is just amazing. The love, God's love, grace, and mercy. Deb, you're amazing. I love you so much. And now I came here with no license. I didn't have a license for 5 years before I came here, and I have my license. I have a car. I'm in relationship with all three of my children, and it's so good. I mean, God is good. Like, the power of God changed everything in me, and he's with me, and he leads me, and I love it, and I'm very connected, and now that I have that, I'll never be the same. So, and thank all of you for your support. Like, y'all are amazing. The mentors, Pamela, you're my heart. I love you so much. Mike, all of y'all, like, for real, have helped me so much through this, and just showing me love, I mean, real love, you know, and it's life-changing, so I appreciate every one of you.
Laura will be traveling back to South Carolina in the next couple of days, and so pray for her. It's hard to go back to where where you've been, and to reestablish yourself and do things differently. So pray for her. But Laura, we're celebrating today, and on behalf of Homestead Ministries and the love and the grace of so many here and beyond, we present you this diploma of graduation. Congratulations.
Okay, stay standing up. We'll wrap this up today. Hey, for our guests, when you came in, this Connect card, there's one thing down here in the bottom. We'd love for you to fill out this Connect card, drop it off at our welcome center out here. We would just like to connect with you and see if you have any questions, but we're really glad you're with us today. A couple things are important. Is a church-wide Super Bowl party tonight. It's put on by the youth, but it's for everybody. You are all welcome to come here, except for Patriot fans. Patriot fans, let's go somewhere. No, just kidding. I hope that wasn't on live stream. All right. The other thing is women's retreat. Pay attention to that. Couples movie night. As we go through this series on love, we're going to have a couples movie night coming up here on February 24th. And most importantly, when you go out these doors, Laura's going to be out there. Please congratulate her and just encourage her as she starts this new leg in life of journey. All right. So I want you to say one thing with me before we leave. Say this. I am third.
I am third.
Louder. Hit it. I am third. Go out and be third. Have a great week.